But there were certain things that we all have in common, which we consider precious. Let me give you about 10 things. I could multiply them times 10. Our time, our talent, our convenience, our opinion. Maybe it's not a very good opinion, but it's mine. The persons of whom I have become enamored, or to whom I've become attached. Now this is really mysterious. How some people see something in certain people is beyond everybody else, except that single person who sees something in that other person. Where we are, our health. I never thought this was possible. Do you know what we can consider precious? Our youth. I think I made the discovery about the age of 40. I didn't know what they used to talk about, but I sure know now. And it just slips by. And no matter what you do, no matter how many hairdos or the $7 billion cosmetic industry of the United States, to the contrary notwithstanding, youth slips by, a precious thing. Do you know there are women who into their old age have not sacrificed their youth? They have never really let go. Do you believe that? I have heard the incredible. I have heard that some women in their wills indicate they do not want to have the date of their birth on their tombstones. You name it, and it can be precious to us. Something of a symbol of our littleness. But that's us. Bad grammar, but good theology. So we could go down all the list of things which are precious, precious to me. But the most important feature, of course, is not the surrender, or even what we surrender, as rather, for whom, or to change the preposition, to whom the sacrifice is made. It is then the motive, the reason why, and it is and must be the love of God. In fact, as you accumulate all these precious things, quite a treasury we have, no one less than God, first of all, would have the audacity to demand the sacrifice. And it's in this context, sisters, that easily elided phrase in the Gospels has so much meaning. If anyone will be my disciple, let him deny. That means surrender himself. We know, of course, it is our self-love, a beautiful thing, a God-given thing. Let's thank Him for it. But precisely because we love ourselves so dearly, even though sometimes so trivially, that we have the opportunity for making sacrifice. If there were not a lot of things in our lives, good things, fine things, which we consider precious, and which betimes God will ask us to surrender, how could we make sacrifice? Isn't it wonderful there are so many things that are precious in our lives? Great. The more the better. Lord, pile it on. But, and before we put the capstone on this, let's remember that this is the way God inevitably deals with all of us, but more especially with those whom He wants to draw closest to Himself. He makes sure there are very precious things in our lives, things we've loved. How dare I use the past tense? Things we love, which, well, it's God. He puts them into our lives, and He makes them so lovable, and us love them so much. Leave it to God. You know what He does? He will ask us to surrender. Like a nice quiet atmosphere when I'm speaking and especially recording. God is positively uncanny in the wonderful persons He will put into our lives. That, for most of us, is our heaviest sacrifice. But He never fails. He will inevitably ask that we surrender. And in the priesthood and in traveling and dealing with souls, by now I've met some wonderful persons. Let me just tell you a story. I hear you don't mind stories. I was in my second year of graduate studies in Rome, and among the close friends that I made was of Father John Chrysostom Chang, that's spelled T-C-H-A-N-G, a Chinese Jesuit, a little man whom I was teaching English, using Italian as the medium of exchange, walking the streets of Rome. He is a novice master of the Chinese Jesuits. When the communists took over, he was sent to Europe to get his doctorate in ascetical theology. I still remember it was Easter Sunday morning after Mass. He came to my room and he was so happy. He said, "John, you know what? I just got word from Father General. He heard that I had finished my thesis, which he had, and that I had defended and got my degree. He asked me if within 2 days I could not leave Rome and fly into interior China to become the superior in disguise of the Chinese Jesuits who were in hiding." He said, "I've been praying for this for years. What a prospect of suffering for Christ. Well, there is one man in whom I discovered a kindred spirit. I told him I envied him. I knelt down for his blessing. He knelt down for mine. He corresponded a little bit from interior China. Then I lost track of him. He stopped writing. Some 3 or so years later, I was working with our Chicago provincial, and all sorts of exotic visitors would come to visit the provincial residence. Among whom was the California provincial who had just come back from visiting interior China. So I asked him, did you by any chance, in the vast reaches of China, come across my friend, John Chrysostom Chang? Yes, he said, some months ago I saw him in prison awaiting execution. He has since been killed for the faith. Well, there are wonderful people that enter our lives. On a very, very personal note, I lost my father when I was a year old. He was 27. Mother was 26. She never remarried. I finished college, entered the Jesuits, left her alone, only because she insisted, if you want to go, you go. She saw me ordained. How I looked forward, she was still a fairly young woman, to the years that she would see me at the altar. I think she assisted at 2 of my masses. She died. Well, I've learned, and I'm sure we're all learning, aren't we, sisters? This is the way God deals with those that He most loves. The Mass, you see, is not a monosyllable. It is a way of life. It means that in the degree to which we recognize that we have only a short life on this earth and that its highest purpose is served when we spend it in dying to ourselves, but notice, to ourselves, but for Him. It doesn't make the cross any less painful, no less than it made Christ's death on the cross less painful. But if you can believe this, and we all can, do you know there can be profound joy in the midst of pain? In fact, the deepest joy comes only from the deepest pain, provided the sacrifice made is made freely, voluntarily, generously, but best of all, when we realize it is made for the one we love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.